The passage refers first to civil government, the higher powers, the powers that be. Next it speaks of rulers, as bearing the sword and attending upon matters of tribute. Then it commands to render tribute to whom tribute is due, and says, quote, owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law, end quote. Then he refers to the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th commandments, and says, quote, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, end quote. There are other commandments of this same law to which Paul refers. There are the 4 commandments of the first table of the law, the commandments which say, quote, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or nay likeness of anything. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, end quote. Then there is the other commandment, in which are briefly comprehended all these, quote, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, end quote. Paul knew full well these commandments. Why then, did he say, quote, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? Because he was writing concerning the principles set forth by the Savior, which relate to our duties to civil government. Our duties under civil government pertain solely to the government, and to our fellow men, because the powers of civil government pertain solely to men and their relations one to another, and to the government. But the Savior's words, in the same connection, entirely separated that which pertains to God from that which pertains to civil government. The things which pertain to God are not to be rendered to civil government, to the powers that be. Therefore Paul, although knowing full well that there were other commandments, said, quote, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. End quote. That is, if there be any other commandment which comes into the relation between man and civil government, it is comprehended in this saying, that he shall love his neighbor as himself, thus showing conclusively that the powers that be, though ordained of God, are so ordained simply in things pertaining to the relation of man with his fellow men, and in those things alone. Further, as in this divine record of the duties that men owe to the powers that be, there is no reference whatever to the first table of the law, it therefore follows that the powers that be, although ordained of God, have nothing whatever to do with the relations which men bear toward God. As the 10 commandments contain the whole duty of men, and as in the enumeration here given of the duties that men owe to the powers that be, there is no mention of any of the things contained in the first table of the law, it follows that none of the duties enjoined in the first table of the law of God do men owe to the powers that be. That is to say, again, that the powers that be, although ordained of God, are not ordained of God in anything pertaining to a single duty enjoined in any one of the first 4 of the 10 commandments. These are duties that men owe to God, and with those, the powers that be can of right have nothing to do, because Christ has commanded to render unto God, not to Caesar, nor by Caesar, that which is God's. Therefore, as in his comment upon the principle which Christ established, Paul has left out of the account the first 4 commandments, so we deny, forever, the right of any civil government to legislate in anything that pertains to men's duty to God under the first 4 commandments. This Sunday bill does propose to legislate in regard to the Lord's Day. If it is the Lord's Day, we are to render it to the Lord, not to Caesar. When Caesar exacts it of us, he is exacting what does not belong to him, and is demanding of us that with which he should have nothing to do.
Would it answer your objection in that regard, if, instead of saying quote-unquote, the Lord's Day, we should say, Sunday?
No, sir, because the underlying principle, the sole basis, of Sunday, is ecclesiastical, and legislation in regard to it is ecclesiastical legislation. I shall come more fully to the question you ask, presently. Now do not misunderstand us on this point. We are Seventh-day Adventists. But, if this bill were in favor of enforcing the observance of the seventh day as the Lord's Day, we would oppose it just as much as we oppose it as it does now, for the reason that civil government has nothing to do with what we owe to God, or whether we owe anything or not, or whether we pay it or not. Allow me again to refer to the words of Christ, to emphasize this point. At that time the question was upon the subject of tribute, whether it was lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not. In answering the question, Christ established this principle, quote, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's," end quote. That tribute money was Caesar's. It bore his image and superscription. It was to be rendered to him. Now, it is a question of rendering Sabbath observance, and it is a perfectly legitimate and indeed a necessary question to ask right here. Is it lawful to render Lord's Day observance to Caesar? The reply may be in his own words, "Show me the Lord's Day. Whose image and superscription does it bear? The Lord's, to be sure." This very bill, which is under discussion here today, declares it to be the Lord's Day. Then the words of Christ apply to this. Bearing the image and superscription of the Lord, render therefore to the Lord the things that are the Lord's, and to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. It does not bear the image and superscription of Caesar. It does not belong to him. It is not to be rendered to him. Again, take the institution under the word Sabbath. Is it lawful to render Sabbath observance to Caesar or not? Show us the Sabbath. Whose image and superscription does it bear? The commandment of God says, it, quote, "is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God," end quote. It bears his image and superscription, and his only. It belongs wholly to him. Caesar can have nothing to do with it. It does not belong to Caesar. Its observance cannot be rendered to Caesar, but only to God. For the commandment is, quote, "remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy," end quote. If it is not kept holy, it is not kept at all. Therefore, belonging to God, bearing his superscription, and not that of Caesar, according to Christ's commandment, it is to be rendered only to God. Because we are to render to God that which is God's, and the Sabbath is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Sabbath observance, therefore, or Lord's Day observance, whichever you may choose to call it, never can be rendered to Caesar. And Caesar never can demand it, without demanding that which belongs to God, or without putting himself in the place of God, and usurping the prerogative of God. Therefore, we say that, if this bill were framed in behalf of the real Sabbath of the Lord, the seventh day, the day which we observe, if this bill proposed to promote its observance, or to compel man to do no work upon that day, we would oppose it, just as strongly as we oppose it now, and I would stand here at this table and argue precisely as I am arguing against this, and upon the same principle, the principle established by Jesus Christ, that with that which is God's the civil government never can of right have anything to do. That duty rests solely between man and God. And if any man does not render it to God, he is responsible only to God, and not to any man, nor to any assembly or organization of men, for his failure or refusal to render it to God. And any power that undertakes to punish that man for his failure or refusal to render to God what is God's, puts itself in the place of God. Any government which attempts it, sets itself against the word of Christ, and is therefore anti-Christian. This Sunday bill proposes to have this government do just that thing, and therefore I say, without any reflection upon the author of the bill, this National Sunday bill which is under discussion here today is anti-Christian. But in saying this, I am not singling out this contemplated law as worse than all other Sunday laws in the world. There never was a Sunday law that was not anti-Christian, and there never can be one that will not be anti-Christian.
You oppose all the Sunday laws of the country then?
Yes, sir.
You are against all Sunday laws?
Yes, sir. We are against every Sunday law that was ever made in this world, from the first enacted by Constantine to this one now proposed. And we would be equally against a Sabbath law if it were proposed, for that would be anti-Christian too.